Good day, friends. It's good to be with you again, and we have good news for you today. We simply are talking about the question, what is the church? And our answer begins today by telling us the church is truly the called out. That's one of the meanings of the word church. When it says in Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, he was talking about people who were called out of sin and called into Christ Jesus. Those people at Pentecost in Acts 2:41 that gladly received the word and were baptized, they were added by the Lord to the church and were aware of the fact that these people became a part of that spiritual body of Christ. They were called out of sin into the marvelous light. So it's a wonderful thing to realize that when we look at the Bible, we find the church to be the spiritual body of Christ. We find it to be his kingdom. And as we told you last time, we find it to be a family. That family is named in heaven and in earth, but it's those who have come from the transitory scenes of sin and darkness into that marvelous light. I'm wondering what it means to you then when you think of people who become a part of the church, being added by the Lord to it, have all their sin forgiven. This truly would indicate that the church has a very special spiritual mission here upon this earth. When I talk to people a lot of times and they say, well, what is the church doing? Sometimes people look at it from a physical standpoint. Now, I'm aware of the fact that we want to see as many people added by the Lord to the church. Our part of it is to plant and to water, but it is God who will give the increase. But so many times people look at the church from the physical standpoint. I was in a community a good many years ago, and I went to talk to a preacher in that community. But the first thing that I had to do before I got into an audience with him was to look at the new church building. Now, I have no objection to looking at a new church building or an old one. But he showed me the timbers that were in that building and how they'd been imported from Italy. He told about some of the outstanding people in the church, and I noticed everything he was talking about the church had to do with something physical. And, you know, I find it true that when people try to impress me, I suppose, about what the church is doing, so many, many times they talk about, well, how much money the church has, the people that are identified with it, the salary they're paying the preacher, what the budget is, all these things are physical. Now, I don't mean to leave the wrong impression on this broadcast. I believe that we ought to do everything decently and in order, and I am sure that there is a concern in the hearts of people that there be individual added to the Lord church. And there isn't anything wrong with having a decent and respectable place in which to meet. But what I'm trying to talk about is really what the business of the church is. If people are called out of sin into the marvelous light, then it would look that through this spiritual birth, the church being a spiritual body, that emphasis ought to be placed upon spiritual things. You perhaps have heard for many years that there's a great deal of difference between a church, as people call it, being a playhouse of recreation and of fun, so to speak, rather than a spiritual prayer house. You know, there's some foundation to these remarks. I'm led to believe that many times when individuals go into a community, they begin to look at the various churches. They begin to think about the people that they're going to be identified with if they place their membership. And this point seems to bring out something very impressive to the minds of some people. But I want to say that if we're called out of darkness, I think we ought to be concerned about the personal relationship that we have as a part of the church with Jesus Christ. A man came to me some time ago, and he had a problem in his life. He said, you know, I really want to be a Christian, but he said, I don't want to join the church. That's a term he used. Well, I explained to him that you don't really join the church. You obey the gospel, and the Lord adds you to it. But to make a long story short, his problem was simply a problem that he didn't like some of the people that were going there to meet him. And I said, well, I suppose that's a problem that's very vivid to your mind. He said, yes, it is. Now, I said, the thing I want you to think about is what I'm talking to you about. The salvation of your soul, the forgiveness of your sins, is not a situation between you and those people that you don't like. It's a situation between you and God. And I believe this one-on-one situation continues when we become Christians. We're together with brethren. We assemble together upon the first day of the week to break bread. This is one of the activities of the worship that we have in the assembly. But we stand or fall not as people who have so many hundred or so many thousand on a church register, but we stand or fall as individuals that have been called out of sin into the marvelous light. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. So the point I was trying to make to this man, and I hope I got the point over to him, is that you've got to consider the spiritual aspect of this. That's what the church is. So many, many times today, we find circumstances getting in altogether a different fashion. I was talking to a young man who was a preacher, and he was very perplexed because when he came to a certain community, well, he was called in by the church board, and they said, now we have the largest membership of any church in this town, and we intend to keep it that way. Now, maybe these people were sincere, I'm not saying. But he was very perplexed to this, and they said, now, when you're going to schedule a prayer meeting or you schedule any activity of the church, you check with the civic organizations in the community first, and let's not have anything clashing with what they're going to be doing. Now, I don't have an axe to grind with those organizations. I talked to you on the broadcast today, but imagine the circumstance this man was under, realizing that his life as a preacher of the gospel in that community was going to be governed by physical societies and by the entertainment and what people actually wanted to do. So I believe there is some foundation that the church many times has become a physical playhouse. It's become a fun thing. I believe there's rejoicing in serving the Lord, but when you put it upon a dollars and cents basis, when you put it upon those things that are physical, when you put it upon the temporal side and say, now this is the church, then it's very difficult to realize the people that are a part of that church have really been called out at all. Now, I'm not trying to render final judgment upon any person. You understand that on the broadcast today. But there has to be something spiritual that's really associated with the church. You know, I've told the story a good many times in a small northern Missouri community, how that a lady came to a church building upon Sunday morning, and she brought her Bible, and some of the people were quite concerned when she came in. They knew who she was. She lived in the community for a long time. She was an outstanding citizen, and they knew that she'd been going to a certain church in the community, as they called it, and what was she doing there on Sunday morning? Well, she had her Bible. And she told one of the elders of the congregation she wanted to come and study the Bible. And you know, these people in the congregation, a number of them, they were quite concerned. You know, they were looking at it from the standpoint, what's she doing here? And she finally told them after the service, she said, this is one of the most refreshing experiences I've ever had in my life. She said, I've been able to sit down now with my Bible and people with their Bibles in a church class period and actually study the Word of God. You see, that lady was really hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And I wonder how many people is walking around the streets of our city today. I'm wondering how many people are staying home from a meeting who are looking for spirituality. All they've found in the church is some type of club, some type of organization, some type of money drive, some type of physical standing. The social side, a social gospel that isn't going to get anyone to first base, it's not going to save them eternally. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So I don't want to be misunderstood. I want you to understand that in serving the Lord, there's great joy. The man from Ethiopia in that 8th chapter of Acts that heard the gospel preached and obeyed it, when he was baptized there in that water along the way, he went on his way rejoicing. So there is a true emotion that's associated with a Christian life, and I'm sure that our feelings of serving the Lord can bring joy to our life. But the thing has to be in a basis that we are Christians, we're serving God, and we're going to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So the church really was not set up for the purpose of entertainment at all. It was set up for the purpose, as the body of Jesus Christ, those who are called out of sin, to serve the Lord, to save souls, to proclaim the gospel, to assist those who are in need. All of these things are a very full and complete life if we're willing to follow it. So why to make the church something different? Well, someone said to me, you know, you've got to consider that not everyone considers the church to be essential to salvation. And this is true. We dealt with this in the beginning of this series. But, you know, when you look at the Bible, when it links together, the very fact that the Lord added to the church such as should be saved or were being saved in Acts 2:47, then there's a strong argument to show that the church is in God's marvelous plan. Now, does it mean something for people to be called out of darkness into the marvelous light? I believe it does mean something. I want to go to this Ephesian epistle again, and I'd like to have you notice that in the great teaching that's found here, he's telling us something about the church that really should be a strong point. He mentions in verse 20 of the second chapter, Ephesians 2 and 20, "We are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." Now see, there's a physical picture of our Christian life. It speaks of it as a building, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. See, the whole thing is a spiritual picture. Now, as Christians in this body, what are we to be? Well, in verse 10, for instance, it says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." You see, it's dealing especially with the spiritual aspect, and that's what the church really is. It's the spiritual body of Jesus Christ. So may I say to you on the broadcast today and asking a question, have you been called out of sin? You know, he offered that call, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of him," in the 11th chapter of Matthew. And if you haven't done that, keep in mind that the church is God's spiritual organization, it's his spiritual body, and you become a part of it when you're called out from sin, when you answer the marvelous gospel call by obeying the gospel. We'll have more to say about this on another broadcast. Thanks for being with us today, and may God bless us all as we obey the marvelous and the wonderful truth.